And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning. It is 4 minutes past 9 on this Wednesday, the 5th of November 2025. And you're very welcome along to the 9 to noon show. And it's Wednesday, the hump of the week. Hope you're well. And we've got so much coming up for you over the next 3 hours. We want you involved in the debates and the conversation. We want you raising your issues, passing on your, you know, bits of good news, your requests. We tend to play requests just after 10 o'clock. We have a wee slot there for it. So anyone celebrating a special event or whatever it might be, get in touch. 086 60 25000. That's the WhatsApp and the text number. 086 60 25000. You can send WhatsApp voice notes too if that suits you. If you want to give us a call, Caroline and Shannon taking your calls on 07491 25000. Feel free to email comments at highlandradio.com or watch the show and comment on the stream. We're on the YouTube app, on your mobile devices, your smart TV and that Fire Stick, which might become pretty much useless for anything else other than watching YouTube if some of the reports are correct about streaming services, etc. And we're across Facebook and on the X platform as well. The Finn Valley Voice is out today, and the number of criminal cases coming before the Donegal courts has more than doubled in the post-COVID years, says a circuit court judge. The present Michaelmas sitting at Letterkenny Circuit Court includes a criminal list of some 239 cases. This list has almost doubled in the last couple of years, Judge John Aylmer says. Around 2 years ago, it would have been common for there to be in the region of 100 criminal cases listed at the circuit court. There are various things at play. Among the things at play are the spiralling usage of Class A drugs, the successful prosecution of perpetrators of historical sexual abuse, and a rise in general crime, which had dropped during the lockdown period. Similar patterns have been noted across Ireland and Europe in general. Interesting, the judge notes, increase in drug usage and also historical sex cases, and of course an increase in criminal cases as well here, and it's reported as criminal cases rocketing in Donegal. On to the Irish Times newspaper this morning, and slow evacuation drills, locked doors, overcrowding, fire doors wedged open, and blocked fire exits have been flagged as safety concerns at International Protection Accommodation Services centres, IPAS centres. A review by the Irish Times of all available reports for inspection on IPAS facilities so far this year found fire safety concerns were raised in respect of more than 50 accommodation centres. And of course, we've got plenty here in Donegal. And an inspection of the Sailors Best Accommodation Centre in County Donegal said a 23-minute or a 25-minute evacuation for 86 people was excessively long. The manager told the Irish Times that after that fire drill in January, procedures were further strengthened, and the next one in March saw more than 120 people evacuated in 6 minutes. So there you go. On to the Irish Daily Mail now, and apparently the housing crisis is going to last for another 20 years. The housing shortage is set to continue for the next 2 decades, and that's only if building targets are met. A new Department of Finance analysis has warned that pent-up demand for housing will not be eliminated until 2045, and that high house prices pose serious challenges in the economy. The department's report states that soaring housing prices have raise the relative cost of living and may be affecting the country's ability to attract and retain a highly skilled workforce, it adds. Changing demographics and household preferences imply a need for smaller units, notably for fewer occupants. And this whole idea that you need a house that's got 3, 4, 5, 6 bedrooms, it's the 1, 2 beds, your 3 beds that are of most demand at the moment, because people aren't having as many children either, if the truth be told. The report also notes that a persistent shortfall in housing in recent years has driven average house prices up by 91% between 2015 and the end of 2024. But what a lot of these reports don't factor in is that there feels to be an inevitable recession, or not even a recession, but a retraction in the economy, not just here in Ireland, but globally. What impact would that have in terms of the population, in terms of, you know, the cost of housing, etc.? You know, we've seen what happened during the crash, for an example. A lot of people that were living here left the country, for that matter, but also too, house prices fell through the floor. So would that happen again? Pardon my ignorance, I'm not an expert in economics, but would that happen again? So if there is a crash What happens to the housing market, and does that affect this claim that demand won't be met until 2045? I don't know, but I imagine we've got at least two down cycles before 2045. I'll just read this because you might not buy the newspapers anymore and you might be interested to know how much it costs to sponsor a show on RTE. So RTE have a new lineup, and RTE is seeking sponsorship of €350,000 for David McCulloch's new mid-morning radio show. As proof of its confidence in the former 6-1 news anchor, it is believed to be the same figure charged for when Claire Byrne anchored the show. Similar to the deal with the previous sponsors, the package is for six sponsor-credited stings lasting 10 seconds and airing daily. The deal, which offers 30 stings a week, includes six cross-station promos across Radio 1's schedule, such as Liveline under the new host Kieran Cudahy. The sponsorship deal is for 1 year and will start from January. RTE sales team said today with David McCulloch will be the place for sharp and accessible coverage of all the day's main news stories. I contest that that's here, but anyway, I just thought it was interesting. $350,000 to sponsor a national show. You might not have known, and you wonder, well, how do they do that? So I thought it an interesting read for you. In the Star this morning, opposition TDs have accused the Taoiseach of making disgusting and cowardly remarks about migration. Simon Harris said he absolutely stands by comments he made about migration being too high, accusing rivals of attempting to shut down debate. He said the conversation is not limited to international protection and that population growth hits services and housing. Now, you have been having this conversation on this show and amongst yourselves for a very long time, and the government, interesting that they're sort of starting to talk about shutting down conversation, when really, for the longest time, any concerns anyone expressed about these matters were shut down and accused of having certain agendas. Social Democrat TD Gary Gannon said the government, and this is a guy that I was just trying to have a regular conversation with me, and he got very combative actually in the conversation, which I thought was weird. But anyway, Social Democrat TD Gary Gannon said the government failed to manage the response to migration and accused it of following a playbook of Reform UK under Nigel Farage or US President Donald Trump. He added, they point to migrants and say they're to blame. The blame lies squarely at the hands of a government who have lost the control. They're trying to reclaim an ability to frame the narrative. It's disgusting. It's cowardly, he said. Mr. Harris also was criticised for not condemning an arson attack on an accommodation centre for asylum seekers in Drogheda, County Louth. So what do you think of Simon Harris's most recent comments? Senator Eileen Flynn is continuing to push for something I'm very much in favour of and would be very, very supportive of this becoming successful. It's reported in The Sun today. The phrase child pornography would be replaced by child sexual abuse material in an amendment to Irish law being presented to the Senate today. Independent Senator Eileen Flynn says the change would see the Child Trafficking and Pornography Act 1998 become the Child Trafficking and Child Sexual Abuse Material Act. She said, we have seen over the years that language can empower people. This is about that young child that grows up to be an adult and plays their part in society so they can feel valued, and that what happened to them is not minimised by the state and the judicial system. So you will see court reporting, and you can't change the language if you're reporting on court proceedings. But, you know, child sexual abuse images is what I refer to them on this programme. There are instances where you need to refer to them as child pornography because that's the crime as is stated in the law. So I'd very much welcome, and I think it's long overdue, a change that would see that horrible terminology change to what it actually is. And what do you think about references in courts? This is a story that comes up, you know, I think it's almost like every 6 months, whereby the issue of giving people character references for certain crimes, and they can be the most horrendous of crimes, and also mild crimes, but it pees a lot of people off. But I don't know what the general public think of this. So the family of a man killed by his partner after she forcefully pushed him have renewed their calls for urgent legal reform after revealing his killer was described in court as being of good character. Jason Ryan, 69, from Balbriggan in Dublin, died in hospital the day after his 49-year-old partner, Alessia Hurtova, pushed him to the ground, causing severe head injuries. She was jailed for 2 years and 9 months in July at Dublin's Circuit Criminal Court after pleading guilty to unlawfully killing James. James's daughter, Karen Ryan, said she's campaigning to remove good character references from court proceedings in cases of domestic violence, sexual offences, murder and manslaughter. Karen said the Irish legal system failed her father and countless other victims. So, obviously, the initial reaction is yes, of course. You know, if someone's guilty of these horrendous crimes, you know, why would another person be, you know, giving them a character reference? You've got the references there, the crime is there, right? But maybe, is it a case, though, that if you try and be dispassionate about it, that maybe things are more nuanced and maybe it might show that an action was out of character or that, generally speaking, the person is of good character? I don't know. What do you think? What's your feelings on... What is your feelings on character references in court, particularly in the serious cases, the types of serious cases I've just referenced there on the programme? We're joined on the programme now by Caroline Lynch, owner of Good As New charity shop in Ballyliffin. And it's off the sad news, Caroline, that you've decided to close despite, you know, raising so much money for charity. Caroline, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
Right, okay. So, Caroline, why did you take this decision? And I'm sure it's a decision you didn't rush into.
Well, I just think down to location, maybe, and the economic crisis what we're all facing at this minute in time, I don't think it's viable for me to stay open. I mean, I'm in Ballyliffin, which is a very, very small community, and it's just a very quiet area, just, you know, it's just off the beaten track. And I mean, I can't say I don't get the support, because I get plenty of donations coming in from everywhere in the Inishowen area. And all those who are donations coming in from Letterkenny and Derry. But I just can't seem to make the sales. Yeah. I have plenty of stuff coming in, loads of good stuff in the shop, but I just can't seem to get the sales in. People coming in just to buy and that. But as I said, I get plenty of support and stuff from the local community.
And you would imagine with the cost of living, you know, that good quality stuff like that that you sell in your shop would be more attractive. But I suppose if you don't have the critical mass, if you don't have the footfall, you can have the best shop in the world, but if the people just aren't about. Has it changed, though, Caroline? Has that always been a struggle? Or have you seen a fall off in footfall in recent times?
When I first opened in August 2023, it was probably because it was a new thing in the area. Everybody was coming in and supporting it. And I have raised some amazing amounts of money for the charities I have done for, like, you know. But it has gradually, this last year has gradually just dropped off. I mean, I waited from last winter to the summer season to come in, and the summer season was just, and I mean, we had some really brilliant weather and stuff. And the summer season to me, for my charity shop, was just, I might as well have been closed for all I did over the summer. It was just, I think people had other things on, you know, people going to the beach, holidays, whatever people do. And I mean, I'm coming up to the Christmas season now, and it's just the same. It's just quiet. I've even had to pull the hours down now. I'm down to, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and Saturday, 10 o'clock in the morning till 4 p.m. because I just can't afford to just be sitting on site all the time. I mean, the shop is up at the house. I attach the doorbell, which connects through to the house so that everybody comes and the shop's closed. They can just ring the bell. I can run out to the shop, open up and serve people, because it's not viable to be sitting in there, especially this time of the year with the heating, the price of electricity and heating costs.
Yeah,
because I have to rely on, you know, just a couple of blow heaters just to keep the place aired, because there's no like radiators or anything like that in there. So it's not feasible for me to stay.
No, you have to think. You know, you have to think of your own time as well, because, you know, I mean, obviously it's fantastic to raise money for charity, but you have to divide your time into the amount that's being raised and the effort, and wonder, is it worthwhile?
Yeah.
But the shop is open for the next couple of weeks. Wednesday 10 to 4, Thursday 10 to 4, Friday 10 to 4, Saturday 10 to 4. So there's still a big commitment there. What kind of stuff have you in stock at the moment, Caroline?
We have a large selection of women's clothes, children's clothes, men's clothes and shoes. We have loads of handbags. a good selection of very good quality toys, loads of different kinds of bric-a-brac, some electrical stuff, glassware, hardware stuff, all kinds of everything, what I call it, you know.
Yeah, so there's lots and lots of stuff there. So if anyone's looking to refresh their wardrobe, there's loads of stuff with labels. I was going to say there's a big sign, good as new, above the door, so if people go into Ballyliffin, they won't miss it.
Yeah, and there's also the sign up at the top of the road too, so that people know you have to go up off the road, like, to get to the shop. Which shouldn't be a problem, because it's well signposted. I have posters all over the area, with posters up in the post office and the shops and stuff, with the air code on, which they could also use to find the shop if they can't find it, because it's got the air code. It's just not feasible to stay open any longer. It's a sad situation, because I opened it because of the area it's in. I thought it would be a great incentive for the area, because it's a very quiet area. We've only got two shops in Ballyliffin. We've a few shops in Clonmany, and mainly bars and restaurants and stuff like that there. I just thought opening a good as new with selling clothes and shoes and stuff would be a great support for the people in this area, as it's very, very quiet. And it would save them having to go into, like, the larger towns like Boncrana or Carndonagh.
Yeah.
But,
Plus they can get good quality labels at lower prices too. Yeah. And you've raised a lot of money over the years, haven't you? Talk to me about that and some of the charitable causes that have benefited.
Well, when we first opened in August 23, I started doing the Galway Cancer Bus. So I raised €3,600 for the Galway Cancer Bus. They were very, very delighted with that. And then after that, I'd done the local community centre in Clonmany. They were looking to raise some money for their after-school club. And I raised them €1,200, which went, I think, towards a dishwasher that they wanted to get for the after-school club. After that was the Bumble Buns, which is the Children's Ambulance Services, which is a good cause, which was €2,300. And then the local men's shed in Carndonagh, they also got a wee bit of money, which was €520. I'd done that for 6 or 7 weeks for them.
Right, and Lough Swilly RNLI are the current beneficiaries, is that correct?
And now we're on the Lough Swilly RNLI since start of May, I think.
Okay.
And so far we have, in and around, I haven't really got all the figures in for that, it's around about €1,200 for them so far. So, yeah, it's running up at nearly €8,800 I've raised in 2.5 years.
All right, okay.
I'm happy with that.
I'm sure. I think it's a fantastic achievement. And also, too, you know, you've kept items in the circular economy as well. But I hope you can change your mind if there's a big rush on, but we'll see. It's the good as new charity shop in Ballyliffin. As you say, loads of women's clothes, men's clothes, shoes, handbags, bric-a-brac, that kind of stuff. Well worth, I think, going in and have a look around, and toys as well, of course, as you mentioned, Caroline.
And there's also books and CDs and... Oh, there's loads of stuff, like, all kinds of everything, like, you know.
Okay, well, listen, I suppose, you know, you have to work with the area in and the amount of people that are about, but we'll see. Hopefully, maybe you get a wee rush anyway in the next couple of weeks with the media coverage you've had.
Well, and failing this closure, I'm actually looking for premises, maybe in the Carndonagh or the Boncrana area. If I can find a premises, I might relocate in there to see if it's any better. But at this minute in time, I am still looking. So if anybody out there, if you don't mind me putting if anybody out there has any empty premises that they would be interested in renting towards a charity shop in Boncrana or Carndonagh area, would you please contact the page, please, if that's possible?
Okay, thanks, Caroline. Take care of yourself. That's Caroline Lynch, owner of Good As New Charity Shop in Ballyliffin. She's made the tough decision, having raised close on £9,000 so far for great causes. She's made the tough decision to close at the end of November. Hi, Gregory. Voting. I, like many others, spoiled my vote to send a message to the government to start talking tough on mass immigration. Well, take the win, or we'll take the win. We need to follow the shining light of Denmark now, as they've solved the problem. Hi, Greg. When your show gets hit with a professor from climate change about getting to net zero carbon, ask him, what is net zero? Zero carbon, like 2%, means nothing grows. We breathe out carbon. I've heard this one before. What's the carbon in the atmosphere? When war ends, we'll have climate refugees. Don't mention data centres who use over 20% of electricity in Ireland. Traffic in Letterkenny, it's a problem. I think we've all took us a bit of time to get to work or school or hospital appointments this morning. If you're in and around that area, many of you aren't, of course. This is the second morning that children will be late for school as the buses are late due to that traffic in Letterkenny. I think Timu's to blame for the likes of the situation we've just discussed. I'm a shop owner and finding more and more people saying they buy on Timu. Trump heavily taxed Timu to protect local and national business. Time to do the same here. Yeah, Timu, Shein, the others. It's not very responsible. You know, people ordering five or six things, keeping one or two things, sending others back. It's very cheap, but it has to be manufactured. Off whose back is it being manufactured? And then it has to be sent around the world. And it is, you know, local businesses that are taking the hit. So there are, you know, those fast fashion outlets that are obviously going to be having effect on clothes shops and what have you, you'd imagine. Okay, we'll be back with more shortly. So we got an update on the 10T project and progress in relation to that. And things are progressing in terms of the planning process and the issuing of CPOs into the future. And a potential start date, 2028, with a construction time with a good tailwind of 5 years. One element of that, of course, is the Twin Towns bypass, which has been on the agenda for, 60-odd years? Probably more, I don't know. Councillor Patrick McGowan, of course, is a Fianna Fáil councillor in that area. He joins me now. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning, Greg.
Now, obviously, you know, there's been a lot of false dawns, reroutings and all that type of stuff. Do you believe genuinely we are as close as ever to seeing a bypass off the Twin Towns?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why when the colleagues came over and asked the council to bring the EAA and anybody connected to them and to the council there last Friday, just so we get a clear message, you know, and try and get a feel of the thing, because, you know, we've been getting bits and pieces of reports and which have been passed out to the public, but we wanted to just have a question and answer session, because the fact that we've all been here before and people have had 3 or 4 different times. So we wanted to see what makes the senior engineers in the council and management and what makes the senior people here in the county, because we have a TAA office in Donegal, what makes them so certain? So we had a question and answer session, and it is very good. Look, we know where we are now. It's supposed to start in 2028 and finish in 2032. But we were asking them what makes them so certain. What makes us think that, you know, I'm sure there's 30 or 40 other similar projects all over the country, from Dublin, Lewis, to you name it. What makes us think that we will eventually get funding? Will we get the support in that? And basically what they have said, this is TNT, it's Trans-European Network. And basically they're going to be putting a lot of money into it. And the way they have looked at it, in Ireland, we're an area, this north-northwest is an area, it's an area in transition that's lagging behind. And, you know, unless they want us to rely on Dublin for the rest of our lives from time again, they're going to have to. And it's within the periphery areas and outer periphery areas within Europe, and then again within Ireland.
I would say that it's clear that the paperwork and the groundwork is being done. This will also come down, though, to a significant funding commitment from government, that actually being budgeted over consecutive years. That's outside the control of the roads office. Are you optimistic that the government will put its hands in its pockets and fund this billion euro project for multiple years?
Yeah, I think so. And the fact that a lot of the money is going to be coming from Europe and a lot of the pressure and support, you know, they're just not going to allow every country to go ahead and just develop their sort of capitals and ignore the rest, because that's what Europe's based on. But I think too as well, the feeling that we have been getting back over consecutive governments in the last number of years is yes. Even look in the last time there, say when the Greens is in, and they wouldn't be the most favoured to build new roads and motorways or anything else. They did say it. We met Minister Eamon Ryan at the time was 100% saying this This job of all jobs, well, there was no question about that it warranted. Mm. All of the studies, yeah. The social, economic,
I think the
need for it.
I agree, but I think we're at a benefit that the Greens aren't in government, because they would fund projects like this, but it would be as a percentage of funding of a green project, so
based
to speak.
On the other
We would have
sustainable transport.
Exactly.
There was something like 2-1.
Okay, so
and look, and we're only seeing that'll be nearly next year we'll actually see that changing. That's sort of 2-1.
Yeah.
That's why there's very little carrying going on the last couple of years. So, look, definitely, with all of the commitment there, all of the feedback we're getting politically, anyway. That's why we brought the engineers, and we wanted to see in Lifford was the engineers singing the same song as we were getting out of from senior departments and the politicians in Dublin. And they are, and look, when we go now in January to board and all, there's two parts to it. There's also to get plan permission for the design and the route, and the other part is to publish the names, because we will be compulsory taking the land, we will be compulsory purchasing the land, and that needs the permission. So both have to stand up, and all the best brains in this country and together feel that we have a very, very good chance.
And we've gone, and I don't want to, I just want to move the conversation on. I don't want to speak over you, but we've went through that process of it in quite a bit of detail over the last few days. And I understand if people are cynical that this will never go ahead, but we do seem to be on the brink of it happening. So we know bypasses, they can make a town, or they can make two towns, or they can destroy them as well. There's a relatively short window then to sort of say, well, what does Ballybofey-Stranorlar look like post-bypass? Does it become a ghost town, or does it thrive and get off the top of that list of vacant commercial property list that it's on every blooming year?
Yeah, well, look, you're right. And the council, we spoke to the Liam Ward and a number of the council management there about 2 or 3 years ago, including the CEO, about this. Like, we can prepare for the bypass, prepare the town for it. We're not in control of the time frame of the bypass, but the one thing we are in control is in the town, and that's why they have prioritised Ballybofey a lot for these town teams, renewing a lot of the businesses. Obviously, it's slow to get the seed project off the ground, but that's the sort of kick-starter. There's a lot of initiatives going on at the moment, but you know, there's only so much the council and the rest can do. Like, it's a lot's going to be down for the businesses, and the Chamber of Commerce has sort of reinvented itself there in the last 6 months to year in Ballybofey, and so they're very, very active. They're widening their spread. So it's both the Chamber of Commerce and the council working hand in hand. And like, we're not talking about road section here, we're talking about economic development, tourism, all the different sectors within the council.
Well, it has to become a destination, because it's going to be so easy to drive past Ballybofey-Stranorlar, and I don't think you can rely on anchor amazing businesses like McElhenney's or fantastic hotels, which the Twin Towns is blessed with. It needs more to become
a
destination.
We're very fortunate because we're one of a few towns about. When you look at it, we have three banks, we have three hotels, three of them, and we don't want to lose. A lot of towns have seen that, and they've never been bypassed. Donegal Town is a good example, but they were always, as you know, a destination town. Ballybofey has to become a destination town. Plus, continue the good service, the likes of McElhenney's and the hotels and that as well, for passengers, for meals, and for 1,000 other things. We've fought very hard, the Chamber and ourselves, over the last number of years to get good access into the town, because they're basically, we're just going to bypass it. We have got the best we can out of trying to get good access from the Donegal side, from the very centre, coming on there around the Glenfin Road and to the centre of town, and then the out of Kilross back into McLeay's, and then again linking up there down to St Joseph's. So we have fought very, very, very hard to keep them good access, new roads, you know, good wide roads with cycle lanes, and then people can get into
what Ballybofey-Stranorlar needs, it needs good access for people with various levels of ability to move around. It needs the town sort of residential population to increase, which means probably getting more people in above shops and that type of stuff. And it needs a wider variety of things. And that groundwork needs to be happening now, I think.
Yeah, well, one part is, and I was saying yesterday there to an old station there in Northern Ireland, but the problem, I see one of the problems in the moment that makes Balfour very unattractive for passing through or even the residents and shoppers is you come to McLeay's Corner, you come down at the Chapel in Stenardy, you come there at McLamish, the Chestnut Road Junction, and you go up there and at Lidl. It's a disaster. You have to run two or three lines of traffic to get in and out. We can do nothing about that. The TAI, they own that road. They wouldn't have us in the other town. They would be all roundabouts. The local traffic would have a fair shot of getting in and out. So we can't do nothing worth the town at the moment. Why that's a national primary road. Once that's downgraded to reason, we can change the junctions, but we can plan for that now. And we can also try and work with more business to make it more attractive and we'll contain what we have. See, a lot of the buildings in the town were old buildings, weren't suitable. Like, we had these Aldi, Lidl, super values, where the base was from, but a lot of stuff built, a lot of new buildings on the kind of the outskirts, not too far, just on the periphery of the town. And you have these old buildings, they need to be repurposed because you couldn't open shops in them anymore. There is a challenge about living upstairs above a shop because there's insurance issues and stuff like that.
There's government incentives for it, for crying out loud. Yeah, but the government are literally incentivizing at the moment tax breaks for businesses.
You still have to have... And you talk about these repurposing buildings and stuff like that, and some are talking about having not needing planning, but you will need a fire cert. So yeah, it's just not that easy. And look, we are like a lot of the towns, we are seeing a lot of success. I would say in the last year, the chamber's putting it out, they have five or six new businesses, small businesses, and hope they opening up. So we are beginning to see a lot of the business, even on the main street. You know, some last and some don't, you know, and people are
that's
trying,
business,
and,
isn't it?
You know, yeah, through the council.
Okay, right? Well, no, I was saying that's business. Some will succeed, some will fail, but I think you're right. I think the council also need to be sort of prepping for when it does have control of that road infrastructure. But for now, Councillor Patrick McGowan, thank you very much indeed. A caller says, this will not be done by 2015. There's no way the government is going to put so much money into Donegal. 10T, bridge over the Swilly. It's all just talk from the government to keep us quiet again. Letterkenny yesterday evening was terrible. On an ordinary Tuesday, traffic jams all over the place. I understand where you're coming from, and you're not going to meet anyone more cynical than I am. But the bottom line is this project is progressing and a lot of work is ongoing. And, you know, it will have potentially full planning approval, you know, mid-27. And you would have to see it then sit on the shelf, if you're correct, sit on the shelf there for another, you know, 23 years. It seems to be that it is progressing again. We'll have to wait and see. But I was speaking to an engineer who was doing a survey of the route from Manor Roundabout to Lifford, says a listener. The preferred route had been approved, and according to him, the work would begin shortly. I asked him what the estimate, the timeline for the new road would be in terms of its completion. He said he expected the road to be open in 2004. So forgive me if I'm not overly excited about this latest announcement. Okay, I get you. Right, this is going back a long time ago, yeah. Will the recent provision of the A5 and environmental issues affect the 10T project in the Twin Towns and Letterkenny? Well, we were speaking to the senior roads engineer in relation to this earlier in the week. You must have missed it. And they are designing this road to work whether or not the A5 goes ahead or not. So this project will not be held up by the A5. If it goes ahead, they'll link in a certain way. If it doesn't go ahead, they've got plans to link into the old road infrastructure a different way as well. So it's not, in terms of the planning and the design, it's not reliant on the A5. Jonathan said, after years of discussion, I have the original plans in my possession from 1969, so it'll be discussed 56 years later. It's an absolute disgrace that local councillors, TDs, etc. have not pushed for this long before now. Ballyshannon, Bundoran, Donegal Town weren't even in the running for theirs when Ballybofey and Stranorla were originally proposed for a bypass in 1969. Could it also be mentioned that there isn't one disabled parking space on Stranorla Main Street, and the ones in Ballybofey are not fit for purpose as they're located at high curbs, which makes it almost impossible to get a person into a wheelchair in such a position. But also, too, there's a lot of people, and we had one of them with us on the programme not too long ago, that actually are wheelchair users but also drive their own car, and there's zero provision for those people, which is crazy. A caller says, "What I appreciate, Caroline, is trying to do a good thing. People are reluctant to buy from charity shops for fears of being seen in them. I know it's expensive, but if they were more active online, I think they would do better," which is a different business and it's tough. I thought we were through the stage of people being embarrassed about going into charity shops. I've said it on the show before that now I find myself at different events and, you know, instead of people sort of going, "I got this dress or this suit for 500 or 600 quid, people actually proudly say that, you know, "I picked this up in a charity shop for 5 quid. Do you know what I mean? So I don't think that, maybe it is, but I don't think it should be there, the shame or whatever you might call it. Sorry, but I think we have enough charity shops in Buncrana, says a listener. On the issue of traffic, can anyone tell me why the traffic is backed out to Ballymacool Park? We're just sitting here for the past 40 minutes. There's ongoing work in Letterkenny and it's affecting every route in another 35 minutes to get from the Aura to St. Union's College, Letterkenny. It's impossible. 35 minutes from St. Union's College to the Aura. Wow. That can't be good for the air control. Another traffic mental this morning. Can you get someone on from the council to discuss this? I'm not sure it's the council are responsible for it. Who's doing the active travel? I mean, I know, well, maybe it is the council, I don't know. Who's responsible for which roads and which projects? It can be hard to keep track. But yeah, I just wonder if they're narrowing roads and taking away right turns and left turns, if we're sort of getting a picture postcard of the future. One would hope not, but heading into Christmas, I don't want to be talking about people struggling to get into Letterkenny and doing any damage to the amazing businesses there, but something's going to have to give, and we can't ignore a problem that thousands of people are experiencing. Down to the traffic, and Natalie Friel is owner of MCA Hairdressing and is feeling the full force of the traffic issues. Hi, Natalie, how are you keeping?
Hi, how are you?
Are you at work yet?
I am literally just about at work there now.
Right. What time do you open at?
I usually open at 9:30, and this morning I left the house with 1.5 hours to get to work from Kilmacrenan.
Wow.
Just around about the shop in Kilmacrenan, and it's taken me till now to get from Kilmacrenan to the end of the dual carriageway to leave my wee boy off at creche and back in to McCall House on the Pierce Road.
My word, it's a toughie having to actually go out the dual carriageway and back in before you can even get to work. So how long have you...
The main issue wasn't even coming in the dual carriageway. Like, that's the standard traffic.
Okay.
It was the back of the mountaintop. I sat there for about 35 minutes without moving at all. And I got as far as the roundabout then at the mountaintop, and I turned and I came back down and I had to go the back roads to try and get to the town a wee bit quicker. Thinking that, you know, 1.5 hours was going to take me to the town no problem and have loads of time to get to work. But I had to actually cancel my first client then because I would definitely, like, I'm only landing to work now at, 10 to 10. And my first client was in at 9:30.
But, I mean, we're living in Donegal here, not New York. You're looking at a 2-hour commute to work.
Yeah, almost just under the 2 hours, 1.45 hours roughly, to get from... Kilmacrenan to leave my baby off to crash and then get to work. It's, and you know what, it has such a negative impact, and that's not even coming into the Christmas rush now.
Yeah.
And the way I am with my business, it's back to back all day, like, you know. Mm. It's client after client after client, and then if you're running 20 minutes behind, it has a negative impact then for the rest of the day. If it means that you haven't had to cancel, it means you're running 30 minutes behind for the whole day then, and then coming into Christmas, that's going to be absolutely mental, even more so, because it means, you know, if I'm running behind, my clients are running behind, everything's running behind. It's, you know, it's kind of meaning a massive loss in the business.
Well, I was going to say that too, Natalie, because if you're experiencing these delays in getting to open the business, right, completely out of your control,
what
does it mean for your clients in terms of them meeting appointments or even bothering? I know you've got a very loyal client base, and they will, don't get me wrong, but... You know, we're asking a lot of people, aren't we, in terms of sitting in traffic to get somewhere?
Yeah, absolutely. Because even last night, my last client last night was 30 minutes late for her appointment. So at that then, I couldn't actually stay on because I had my wee boy to lift. So, you know, things like that then. And then it means that I have to try and squeeze her in elsewhere. Or if not, I've lost the money. So it is. It's a lot. You know, it's a hard one to navigate.
Yeah, and I mean, you're doing so well in having your business, having it packed, balancing getting the kid to creche and picking the baby up then after. You know, that's a tough enough setup, right? But then to sort of factor in all of this time on top of it, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And then even staff-wise, you know, the other girl that's working for me today, she was 15 minutes late as well because she had rang a taxi in the town and it took the taxi 40 minutes to get to her house. And she only lives up past the hospital. It's crazy. I don't know. I actually, in my head, I was thinking I'm going to send the council an email this morning because 2 hours, just under 2 hours from Kilmacrennan to the crash to work is ridiculous. But then you feel like it's nearly fallen on deaf ears.
But it's always better it's always better to put it on the record because you can always say, well, I am emailed,
absolutely.
You know, and I know it can feel like it's a waste of time. What will it achieve? Well, it'll be on the record and you'll have expressed it. I'm not going to hold you up any further, Natalie. But, you know, it's something has to give here, right? Because we don't know if these roadworks are going to leave traffic this bad all of the time. Do you know that sort of
a
way? Like, we don't know.
Yeah, and especially coming into the busiest time of year now, the traffic is bad as it is. And then coming in, you can even see the traffic building now coming up to Christmas. Do you know, it's started already. What's it going to be like come December? You know, it does worry me for the business too, because I'm like, if I'm not running late and my staff's not running late, my clients are running late, and then everything's all up in the air.
Yeah. And I mean, you can't, there's no way around this for you. Like, you could leave the house even earlier, but you could end up actually sitting for an hour outside the creche. You know what I mean? It's a catch 22. Because if you avoid the traffic altogether, you're too early for that. And no one likes to sit in a car with a young one for too long. For obvious reasons. Okay.
Absolutely.
Listen, we'll try and find out what the story is, Natalie. I think you've really framed it really, really well so that people understand the challenges of someone like yourself trying to get in and do your business. Thank you, Natalie, for your time. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you so much for having
me.
Thank
you. It's our pleasure. That's Natalie Friel, who's owner of MCA Hairdressing, by the way. So if you can support that business, please do. She's very busy as is, of course. A caller says it's 10 to 10 now and there's still school buses on the Leck Road in Letterkenny trying to get kids to school. It's 7.5 years since a bypass was first mentioned for this area. What are the councillors doing? It took me half an hour to get from Meadow Hill Kiltoy to get to the mountaintop this morning. And the thing is, too, with that mountaintop coming up from Kilmacrennan and what Natalie would have experienced with this, there's two lanes going up. And then there's potentially 1, 2, 3, 4 lanes of traffic trying to get into one lane opposite us here at Highland. And then you go further down, there's a nightmare of a roundabout. And then further down, they've the road half the size to put a cycle path that no one's ever going to cycle up that hill on. I can tell you that for a fact, you know. Unless you, I'm not even sure if you're a professional cyclist, you want to come up that hill for fun. Who's going to be cycling down mountaintop and up mountaintop to go to the shop or where or to work? That is a very, very steep incline. And is this, as I say, a taster of what is to come in terms of, you know, travelling in and out with these active travel lanes? And ironically, and I don't mean this badly, the majority of people voted for this are from actually outside Letterkenny. Hi, Greg. It would make more sense to extend the two lanes from Illestrin to the mountaintop right the way down to the Optum roundabout. It'll reduce the traffic congestion. Don't need a filter lane to leave this road. Morning, Greg. Who's responsible for these decisions on traffic in this town? Are we in a dictatorship? Is nobody open to criticism? They aren't listening to anyone. That roundabout at the Polestar is nearly 2 years there, and it's made things immeasurably worse. That then was a knock-on effect, or has a knock-on effect, on the whole town. It's an embarrassment. Our councils and politicians are utterly, utterly useless. I'm not sure it's the Polestar roundabout that's causing the problems. It seems to be work elsewhere. And don't forget, there's even more traffic lights going in as you come in, say, for instance, on the Remelton Road, and potentially the road outside the Mount Errigal being reduced to 2 lanes instead of 3, and other parts of the town having turnoffs for businesses and for housing estates done away with. So people will be sitting there waiting to turn right, holding the traffic up even further. It's a recipe for disaster, I think. And I wonder even how it might work once the TEN-T project is complete. Do people realise, says a listener, that there'll be a tenner of a toll for using the bridge, therefore nobody will use the bridge to pay for it? I mean, that's if they went down public-private partnership. I've not seen that anywhere else other than in your text, but it would be useless if there was a toll on it. A caller says, morning, Letterkenny needs more roads, not houses. Again, Donegal County Council has messed up. Not all Donegal County Council's responsibility, but I understand where you are coming from. More on traffic, because lots of you have time. Looking forward to the Christmas rush, if it's this bad, on an early November morning. I don't know what our local reps want to say about it. The lines are open to them as much as anyone else, but what we have is thousands of people who are incredibly frustrated in trying to get to hospital appointments, in trying to get to businesses, in trying to support the amazing businesses that are in and around Letterkenny. At what point do people not bother even trying? And as I say, ultimately, this is people turn to local public representatives for some guidance or advice or support in relation to this. So as I say, our lines are open, but people are peeved off, to say the very least. 086 60 25000, that's the WhatsApp and text number, 086 60 25000, or if you prefer, give us a call on 0749 125000.